us to a portion of Scripture. We'll be reading from Genesis in the 9th chapter. And I'll just be blatantly honest with you this morning. As I was studying this week and praying over what God would have for us to do, I was beginning to get a little worried. Monday came and I studied, and you know, I studied what I, you know, was going through. And Tuesday came and I kept studying. Wednesday came and I kept studying. Thursday came, started to get kind of worried. The Lord hadn't given me a thought, and was getting really worried. Friday came and still no thought. I thought, Lord, what are we doing? You know, you may want to try to give me something before I get there Sunday. And Friday came and went, and still no thought. Saturday came and it was getting long into the evening time, and I thought, Lord, you know, I have to preach in the morning, and I've studied all week, and don't I have a thought from nothing? And He said, yes, you do. And I thought, Lord, there's no way that I can preach the thought that you've given me all week, because I have no idea where I'm supposed to go with it. And I began to read and began to study, and I had not looked at this just at all this week. And I began to read and I began to study, and these scriptures came to me. And the thought that's on our heart this morning is the rainbow. And I thought about this message, and I thought about what God had given me, and I thought about what the rainbow meant. And it was a covenant between Noah and God that He would never destroy this world again by water. He put His bow in the sky to be a reminder for everyone. He calls it a token of the covenant. And a covenant is a promise between two parties, or an agreement that was made. Recently, I have been in a class there at Western, and we've been talking about contracts and unilateral and bilateral contracts and the things that you receive and things you don't receive from different contracts. But thought about the covenant between God and man this morning. And I ask that you'd pray for us as we try to preach this message. The 8th verse says this, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. And I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." And that will conclude our portion of the reading this morning, our reading lesson. And maybe, if you all remember, and I had to ask Sister Jean a few weeks ago, when is the Lord's Supper again at Mount Calvary? We take it the first Sunday in June and the first Sunday in December. Last time I preached a Lord's Supper message, we actually had the Lord's Supper before us. This may come a month early, but I believe that God gave this to me this week, and I've been thinking about the covenant. And you know, the Lord made many covenants with a whole lot of people down through the ages of time. He made one with Noah. He made one with Abraham. He made one with Moses. And He made one with the children of Israel. He made covenants with a whole lot of people. He told them over in Judges, He said, "I will not break my covenant with you." He told them, He said, with the children of Israel, He said, "I'll never break my covenant with you. But you have disobeyed me, and therefore I'm going to do the things that I told you I wouldn't do because you have disobeyed me, and therefore the covenant will be something that will be set against you." And as I thought about this this morning in the covenant between God and man now. There's a blood covenant that was made. We realize that the Lord gave His only Son as the propitiation for our sins, that we would have a way made so that we could be saved. There was bloodshed so that we could be saved. But a covenant. And what the Lord was saying here, He says, I put this rainbow in the sky for remembrance. And you think about what He was asking them to remember. You know, you think about the day and time that they'd been going through and the day and time that Noah was living. You know, Noah was asked to do something that was very important. The Lord told Noah, He said, you go and you build that ark and you make it a certain way. And Noah, when you do that, you tell everybody about what's going to happen. You tell those people about the covenant that I've made. You tell those people that if they don't heed the warning, that they shall surely die. I believe Noah preached to those people, and I believe he told them. I believe he said, it's going to rain, you know. And I've thought about this many times. Those people probably didn't believe that it was going to rain. They'd never seen rain before. But I believe Noah still took upon his job. God made a covenant with him. And if we'll look over in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, it says in the 18th verse, it says, But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And he goes on to talk about all of the things that would be taken into the ark. You know, I believe God made a covenant with Noah. If you'll do what I ask you to do, I'll take care of you. If you'll do what I have asked of you, I will make sure that I spare your life. Now, I'm very much a believer that if Noah had not obeyed God, that he would have been wiped out just like everybody else. But God told Noah, He said, you build the ark and I'll take care of the rest of it. And so the floods came. And those people, I guess, I've often wondered what they must have thought the first drop they felt. But it says that the rain fell. So I imagine they didn't have a whole lot of time to get their thoughts in order. I imagine when it came down, they realized, you know, that old preacher was telling the truth. Noah was telling us the truth, and now we have lost our chance. And they had lost their chance. You know, the Bible says that the Lord shut Noah in, and I don't believe there was anything that could have taken that door off the ark except Jesus Christ and God Himself. There was nobody that was going to get in there once God had sealed it up. Not one person had another opportunity. But the Lord told Noah, He said, the rains came, and you know, you just think about all of the destruction that there must have been. You think about how Noah must have been thinking, you know, I don't know if I can actually go through with this. Why, it's never rained, and I've never built a boat, and you asked me to build a boat, so here I am, and I built it, Lord, and I'm on this thing, and here it starts to rain. And it rains for so many days, and then there's so many days after that. You think 40 days and 40 nights of rain is just going to go away like that? No. It didn't happen just overnight, so they were on there a whole lot longer than just those few days. I believe it was over 100 days that they spent on this boat. Maybe Noah began to get a little worried. You know, Lord, I've done all of this, and we're still on here. I've not seen the end of it. And so the Lord speaks to Noah, and God made a covenant with Noah. And I thought about the rainbow, and covenant had been kind of floating around in my mind all week, and I thought, Lord, what am I supposed to do with a covenant? I've read many places where God made covenants. And you know, I've read over this many times, and there's a lot of things that you can glean from the rainbow. And I'd never taken the time to look at them. I thought about that token of the covenant. You know what a covenant is? I told you it's a promise. And you know what happens when you promise something? From time to time you're reminded of those things. It's a reminder. Every time that the rainbow's in the sky, there would be a reminder that God would never do what He'd done to the earth again. So He made a reminder that every time it was up there, and it says through perpetual generations. How many of you have seen a rainbow? See one all the time. Saw one the other day. It was beautiful. I thought about art class last night. And you think, preacher, how did you get off on art class? We learned very early on the colors of the rainbow. Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, Biv, indigo, and violet. So I've already messed up this morning. I've already miscolored the rainbow. But I'm thankful this morning that God set a reminder in the sky for us. But I want to say this before I get too far into my message. God is coming back someday. And He won't be by a flood, and He won't destroy the world that way again. But the next time He comes, it will be by fire and brimstone. God will return to this earth, and He will destroy it again. He will do that. The Bible tells us that. But He set the rainbow in a reminder to Noah and to us today that He is the supreme and almighty God. It was a token of the covenant. It was something to remember the covenant by. You know, you've heard me say this a lot in the last few months and last year. I am a very forgetful person. And if you don't remind me of things, it'll go in one ear and out the other. So if you tell me something, you constantly have to remind me or give me something to remember why and what cause I'm doing something for. And I thought about the token of the covenant of my salvation. You know, God set the rainbow in the sky for us to look at. And I think they're beautiful. I think they're wonderful to look at. I'm glad God did that so that we would have a reminder that He's up there and He's still making covenants. I'm glad He did that. And I'm glad He gave us the token of the covenant. But this morning, I want you to think about the covenant that God made with you the day that He saved your soul, if you've been saved by the grace of God. We read about, and I've already explained it a little bit, we read about a blood covenant that was made at Calvary. You know, there was something done there that was special for every person. You know, I think about symbols a lot of times, and we look at things and we automatically know why or where or how because of the symbol that is there, and we know in everybody. And I'm going to say this right here. There's a group today that has taken the rainbow and they have misused it. I'm going to say this. God wants a symbol back. It was God's to begin with, and I believe it always will represent what God has made it to represent. It's a token of His covenant. And that's what it should be remembered by. But we look at the cross and we see Jesus. Told you last Sunday we sing the song, The Old Rugged Cross. And I believe very much so. I'm thankful for the cross, and I'm thankful for what it represents. But I'm thankful for the One who hung on the cross. I'm glad He hung on the cross for me. He didn't have to. But as I began to think about symbols, and I thought about blood, and I thought, oh, if you know me very well at all, you know blood and me, we don't mix too well. I don't like bodily fluids very much. So blood, if I see it, it begins to make me very squeamish. I'm not a person that if you cut, it's going to do a very good thing. I'll probably get sick right along with you. Not a person that likes blood. Oh, but I'm going to tell you one night when I knelt before God, I was so thankful that He took out the blood of the Savior and put it on my soul. He sealed it up with His holy and His precious blood. That was a token of the covenant that was made at Calvary for every person that would be saved. There was a blood covenant that was made. There was a token that was given to every single one of us. What is it, preacher? He told him over in John, He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send one. I'm going to send something after me so that you would know that I am with you. And He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us a token, another token of the covenant that was made with Him through us. He gave us that blood and He applies it to the soul. He gave us the Spirit to remind us that we are His children. It says, for those that are His children shall be led by the Spirit of God. I'm glad God gives out tokens of the covenant. I'm glad God allows us to know and to remember that we are His children. I told you about the Lord's Supper. And you may say, preacher, we're a month away. Do you realize why we take the Lord's Supper? Do you realize why that we engage in the Lord's Supper? Why it is important? You know, I told you the last time we took that ordinance. We got two of them.
First one's baptism. The second one is the Lord's Supper. And we've got to do them in order. They've got to be done in their proper order. If you've not been baptized into God's church, you can't take the Lord's Supper. Here at Mount Calvary, we take the Lord's Supper with our members and our members only. But you know what it is? It's a symbol. It's a token of the covenant that God would allow us to take of His body and His blood so that we would always remember that He bled at Calvary for us. Just as much as He put the rainbow in the sky to be a token of the covenant that there would no more be destruction by water of this earth, He gave us baptism, which is a symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is completely something that we must do to show our belief in Christ Jesus. It's not something that will ever save a person, but it is so that we let the world know that we are God's. It's a token of the covenant. It's a token that we have, that we can know that we are His children. You know, in order to be a member of the Lord's church, you've got to be a saved person. Thought about the church as a token of the covenant. The Scriptures teach us, and if you've ever read about the pearl of great price, it says there was a man who went out seeking goodly pearls, and he sold all that he had for one pearl. You know what that pearl was? It was the Lord's church. God gave His whole life. He gave His Son so that people could be saved and that His church could stand the test of time. God gave His blood for the church. The church is another token of the covenant. It's a token of the promise that He made us. You know, we read about the Moses and we read about the law that was given. And you know, it was a law that was made so that people would realize, and Brother Colin mentioned this Wednesday night, it was made so that people would realize that they can't do it on their own. It was made so that we might realize that God is the supreme being. It would make us realize that without those tokens, without the covenant that is made at Calvary, no one can be saved. You know, I thought about the rainbow. Thought about the whole world gets to look at those. You know, God set that in the sky. You know, and I believe He made it so that everybody could see it. I believe He lets the whole world know of His promise. And all through the Old Testament, there was a promise that was made that there would be somebody coming to save the world. Somebody coming to take away the ceremonial law of the Old Testament and do away with it. There was something that was told all of those times. There were prophecies made. There's somebody coming to save your souls. And when He comes, and I want to, if the Lord will help us, for just a moment, we're going to turn over to the book of Hebrews. As I said, I ask that you continue to pray for us this morning, that God would be with us. I told you I've struggled all week to get this sermon, this thought. And you know, it's something that as God gave it to me, I thought, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to get this out. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to relay this thought to those group of people because You've given it to me. And we've got Brother Duncan with us here this morning. And as a preacher, I'm sure he understands. Sometimes you get a thought and you get a feeling and it just bubbles up inside of you. And sometimes you just can't relay it in a way that you want to because God has given it to you in such a way that this mind sometimes can hardly begin to comprehend it. But I'm thankful this morning that God is the one who provides us with the ability and the study and things of that nature to be able to present messages that come from Him. Hebrews in the 9th chapter, in the 11th verse, it says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when the Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both of the book and all of the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkleth with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." You know, I thought a lot about symbology this week. So I began to think, and the covenant was rolling over in my mind. And I began to think about Old Testament things, and we studied some Old Testament laws on Wednesday night. And I began to think about Aaron. And you think about what happened. If you look over in Leviticus in the 16th chapter, and a lot of times we hear about the mercy seat. And once a year, the high priest would go into the tabernacle and he would offer up a sacrifice for himself and for all of the people. It was the Day of Atonement. It was the day in which sins were purged. And there was a thing made in there, a vessel that was there, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant. And it held three things. It held a pot of manna, it held the tablets so that Moses had, and it held Aaron's rod that budded. Held those things, and I believe those things were representative of things to come. I believe that they were representative of Christ Himself. And I also believe on top of the Ark of the Covenant was this thing where two cherubims met, and it was called the mercy seat. And a lot of times we hear people say that this is a mercy seat. This altar that is before us, they call that a mercy seat. But you know, the mercy seat, there was never a place that someone went to sit or to really get on top of. You couldn't even touch the Ark of the Covenant with yourself or with anything, because if you did, you would die immediately. You ever thought about the man that touched the Ark and immediately just dropped dead? I thought about what a special thing that was. But I thought about the mercy seat and how Aaron would go before God in the holiest of holies, and he would offer up the sacrifices that they had. And you know what God would do? He would come down and he would commune there at the mercy seat. And I thought about the covenant that God made with them there, that God would meet with them in a way that they would know that God had been there when Aaron come in there. You know, Aaron had to wear a special bell on the bottom of his priestly garment so that when he went in there, so that when he got in the holiest of holies, that if he were to die, that they would know the bell would stop ringing. But you know, I'm thankful this morning that we as God's people, we don't have to go through those things anymore. I'm glad there is no more offering up sacrifices every year and one person has to go in and offer it up. I'm glad there's not a high priest that we have to go to here, that we have to go to and offer our blood sacrifices to. No, no. It's the Scriptures teach us, and I've already told you about the cross at Calvary, that the perfect sacrifice was made right there. It was made for every person that would ever be saved. And I'm thankful this morning that salvation is offered to everybody that has ever lived or ever will live. God has made a way so that any person that is ever born can be saved. And I believe that. But I'm thankful this morning for the tokens of the covenant. You know, I've had a lot of people, and you may say, "Preacher, what does all of that have to do with this message?" It was a token of things that were to come. And I'm glad this morning, and people have asked, "Why do you still have an altar in your church? Why do you still have a mourner's bench?" This bench before us this morning has no ability to save not one person. And you'll never see us come in here and begin to offer up sacrifices to God. We'll never take blood and begin to pour across it. We'll never do that. But you know what we must do before we ever get saved? We've got to pour our hearts, our minds, and our soul out to an Almighty God. It is a symbol that God is the place that we have to get to in order to be saved. It's a symbol of that. The Scriptures tell me that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus Himself. Paul told Timothy that, I believe, over in 1 Timothy. He said, "For there is one mediator between God and man, and His name is Jesus Christ." And you know what happens when a person gets down with God and told you that a covenant is an agreement or a promise between two people? And I told you last week as we were talking about the security of the saints, that there don't need to be anybody else involved in your salvation. When it comes down to being saved by an Almighty God, there's nobody else that can do the praying for you. The covenant has to be made between God, Jesus Christ, and you. You say, "Preacher, that's more than two." The Bible teaches me that the three, they are one. You know what happens when a person gets saved? The person is praying to an Almighty God. And they're pouring their heart out. And between that person and God is a man named Christ. And as they're praying, I believe the moment that they pray through, Christ looks at the Father and He says, "That one has prayed through." And then He takes the blood and He applies it to the soul. And you know what happens there? There's an agreement that's made. There's an agreement there, and you know what happens to that person? They receive the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, they are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And for the rest of their lives, as long as they live, they have that token of the covenant that lets them know that they are one of God's children. And for the rest of their lives, they have the ability to access the throne room of heaven anytime that they need it. You know, this morning as I began to think, as we were coming down here and as I was thinking about the rainbow, and I thought about how the whole world sees that. I'm convinced this morning that the whole world knows about the cross. There's a world full of people out there that hear about this cross and how the person that died on it came to save people that are lost. People hear that all the time. You know, we look up today and people say, "Well, the rainbow is caused because of this or that." And I thought about the shirt, and I can't remember which group it is that has the rainbow on the front of it. But I thought about scientifically what maybe makes a rainbow. But I'm going to say this morning, the only thing that puts the rainbow in the sky is Christ Himself. You can come up with every scientific reason of this, that, and the other, but I believe God puts it up there. And I believe He paints it up there, and I believe He keeps it up there to show this world that He is an everlasting and an Almighty God. And I'm thankful this morning that He went to the cross of Calvary in such a way that He would let the whole world know that He is God and He's an Almighty God and He's the only one that can save souls. I'm glad it's that way. You know, when I began to think about the covenant, and I told you about the reminder that you had to have, I want you to turn with me again to the book of 1 Corinthians. I want us to look at the 11th verse. You say, "Preacher, you have been all over the place this morning. You told us you were going to talk about the Lord's Supper, and I am." As members of this church, or whatever church that you're a member of, I believe it's of the utmost importance to take of the Lord's Supper. I believe if there is any way at all possible, you need to be there when they take the Lord's Supper. We only have two ordinances. And we've taken one of them when we're baptized into the Lord's church. The second one we can take as a reoccurring thing as long as we are a member of one of the Lord's churches. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to take of the Lord's Supper? You say, preacher, what's this got to do with anything this morning? The 23rd verse of 1 Corinthians 11 chapter says this. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth. They'd been doing some things kind of backward. They'd kind of turned some things around on the Lord's Supper. And he wanted to make sure they were doing it the right way. And he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Every time that we come together as a church to take of the Lord's Supper, you know, he tells them, he says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Anytime that you sit down to the Lord's table, do it in a way that is in remembrance of what I did at Calvary. May we never forget what happened at Calvary. As God's people, He sent His... As God's people, every time that we are able to do that, we are taking this New Testament. And we're taking the covenant that God has given us, and we're showing the world that God broke His body for us, and that His blood was shed upon Calvary to make that blood covenant a secure and a real thing. You know, without God's blood, there would be no remission of sins. There would be no saving of souls. There'd be no forgiving of sins. You know, if God had never put the rainbow in the sky, He could destroy this world with water. And He still could. But He made a covenant. And I'm convinced this morning that when God makes a promise, He makes it forever. He doesn't back down from His promises, and He doesn't let go of them. When God makes a promise, He intends to keep it. So thought about the rainbow in the sky and how He keeps it there for us. I thought about the blood. You say, preacher, you go from the rainbow to the blood. You went from something almost completely different. Last week, and I guess maybe this is an addendum to that sermon, the blood is an everlasting covenant. Just as much as when God applies it, it's an everlasting salvation. When God saves a soul, He makes a promise that we are His. He seals it up. He makes sure that the soul that we've been given is in a way that when He comes back someday after a while, that He will find the blood. You think about the Passover. When they saw the blood, that He would pass over them. It's an everlasting covenant with you and I. Thanks be unto an almighty God that because of the blood, we have this promise. We have this hope. We have this joy of a salvation. And you say, preacher, you mean when you look at a rainbow, you see salvation? Yes. Why is that? Because of the covenant. You know, God's been making covenants, and I'm glad that He has been. I'm glad that as a little boy, when I knelt before Him, He didn't send a rainbow, He sent blood. But I'm so glad that God is the one that my covenant's made with. It's not made with man. It's not made with anybody else, but it's made with Him. And it's made with something that this world didn't create, and it's something this world sure can't take away. They can't take the rainbow out of the sky, and they can't take the blood off of my soul. They are everlasting to everlasting. I'm glad for the rainbow. I want to read for you one more thing before we finish up this morning, if God will be our helper. I want to turn back to the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis. It says, "And I will remember," 15th verse. It says, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. I don't know about you this morning, and you may be completely different than I am, but I'm glad of tokens of the covenant. I don't believe there's anybody that's ever been saved that's ever forgotten that they've been saved. You may say, preacher, what if they lose their mind? Once you've been saved, you've got it. It's always yours. I'm glad this morning that God gives us things as His children. And He could save us and then not let us know about it. But He does. I want to close with this. I thought about Joshua and how the Ark of the Covenant was coming across the sea, and they went over. He told them, he said, we're going to go over on dry land. And maybe they got a little scared and thought, we're not going over on dry land. And they took the Ark of the Covenant and they stepped out, and the waters receded. And the Ark starts coming across. And as they get on the other side, Joshua tells them, he says, you go get you 12 stones. Go take 12 stones and mark this place so that your children will know what happened here. There's a marker there. There's a token that one day that God kept His promise that they would go over on dry land. There's a marker there. There's a token placed at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church right along about in here. Where the Lord saved my soul. There's a stone that's been driven up. There's a place there where there was a covenant made. The whole world, you know, as we go, as this country goes together and maybe Obama or whoever goes together to sign a treaty or something of that nature, a covenant that they won't go to war with each other, the whole world has to see it. They put it on every news channel that there ever was. But you know, the night I got saved, nobody else knew about it. Didn't have to know. It's between me and God. But those stones, I believe they're still there somewhere. We may not be able to see them, but I believe that marker is still there. Aren't you glad for tokens of your salvation? Aren't you glad that God leaves markers in our lives that we can know that we have been born by God? Aren't we glad this morning that God has left us markers? If salvation wasn't real, and if it wasn't something that we could see and feel, and you say, preacher, I've never seen my salvation. Bless your heart. You need to be praying and asking God what you've got, because I've seen my salvation a few times. And I sure have felt it too. You can't feel what I feel. You can't. Oh, but I know. There's an old covenant that's been made in there. There's not one of you that can come and get it from me. And there's not anybody in this whole entire world that can drive up that stone that was laid the night that God saved my soul. You, next time you see a rainbow, you try to get it out of the sky. You just go up there and you just try your hardest to get it out. And if you can take the rainbow out of the sky, then you can take my salvation from me. And it may dim behind the clouds every now and then. But guess what? God said His promise. He's made a promise to us. As often as you take the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you see a rainbow, if you've been saved by the grace of God, thank the Lord for covenants between God and man. You know, we have a church covenant. An agreement between us and the Lord's church that we've got to keep. When you join the Lord's church, you agree to those things. But I'm so glad for tokens of the covenant. I'm glad this morning that it's that way. If it wasn't, salvation would be a horrible thing. You wouldn't know about it. We might go to heaven, but wouldn't know about it. It's sad to live in a world and think that you're going to make it and then drop off into nothing someday after. Well, I'm glad that God fixed it up one night as I knelt before Him at an altar of prayer. That's my message this morning. The rainbow in the sky. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand.